So spend some time coming into presence here and now, and say taking up our sitting position, our axis, our sense of groundedness. Keep re-establishing that, the physical quality of that. Around the lower spine and the upper legs, this whole region, so firmly planted. So you feel the tail, and you can also feel sensations down your thighs, the primary placing is the tail, and then just gently coming into the lumbar region and so if you're pushing down with your tail, pushing down with the tail, and feel the sense of that slight downward push, pushing up your spine into the lower back, so it just strengthens the lower back. So if we push down, feel that the counter effect is a strengthening in the lower back and the abdomen just slightly stretched or slightly lengthened, open. So if you could place the rest of your body on top of that, so it balances from the middle of the, from the lower back up is something you balance. So as if you're balancing on that foundation, so we're not using the upper body, in some ways you're relaxing it, but you're using the posture to adjust the way your chest sits on your lower spine, so that it requires least effort and less strain. So you can relax your shoulders and widen, experience a widening across your chest and down the sides of the body. So establish that posture as best one body physical structure allows. And coming up the back into the neck, informing that connection or the non-breaking from the back into the neck. So it's extending the spine to the head. So we get that structure and it takes some time making sure it's all there. That's the firm. And then coming down the body, across the front. So the forehead, temples, the eyes, the jaw. See if you're slowly sweeping your hand down your face, cheeks, mouth, throat. Open the throat and continue spending a few minutes sweeping down the front of the body. You descend into the abdomen, spherical breath, breathing in the abdomen. So that downward movement, inclining down, including or perhaps emphasizing the out-breath a little more, as if the out-breath you're almost leaning slightly, your inclination, leaning your mind on the out-breath to encourage it to complete. And as you sense the breathing out, feel the abdomen relaxes again, focusing, going down from the abdomen through the base of the body, pelvic floor. If you can sense it into the ground or down your legs. And breathing down. And let the in-breath happen by itself. So just let that come in when you've completed the out-breath. The in-breath comes in. Allow open to that. Experience yourself thinking to such a strong degree that it's difficult to maintain awareness of your breathing or your body. Let you open your eyes a little, clearing, and repeat the exercise. You can even place a word on the out-breath or a sound. Simple syllable, like do. It's lengthening the thought over the length of the out-breath. Breathing out. breathing out, long, slow out breath, particularly as it's slowing down, becoming subtler, quieter, follow why it feels quieter, what is softer about it, or the energy going calmer, quieter, and then feeling what's happening in your body, particularly your lower body, as you know, the breath affects the abdomen, the lower regions of the body, the legs. Warming effect, tingling effect, and the not making any in breath. You know, just letting it go until the breathing body begins to, you know, turn into the in breathing and pulling and experiencing. You know, what aspects of embodiment become apparent with the breathing in, say a quality of expanding, rising, sweeping, opening the throat, opening the chest, the lower chest, the sides of the ribs, and the upper chest, collar, throat, and coming into the inner, coming into the head through the throat, into that cavern. That hollow space, as if the last threads of in-breathing brush the head. And then turning to the out breathing, a long breath. And how is the feel of that? How does that feel? Yeah. The physical feeling of it, and then the mental, emotional feeling. Does it feel physically smooth, or jolting. Is it something that your mind struggles to find or rests into? And if it does rest into it, that the feeling of that, if it's struggling, the feeling of that. Accepting, opening to the feeling. The subtler kinds of feeling also, mental tones such as quiet, bright, tender, fidgety, mind isn't so settling. Silent. Different aramanas, different textures of mind. The breathing playing through that. The mental tone seems restless or negative or compressed, struggling or forceful. Just checking it in your body. Is the chest open? Is the head open? Chest open. Feel the temples, the forehead, the eyes, throat. Really open. Palms of the hands, are they open? So in releasing these energetic pressure, that can give rise to a hard or mind state or intense mind states, moods that are dark or cloudy, ventilating. And if you again finding these strong thought patterns, and you've tried opening your eyes a little, opening does help to alleviate the pressure. So most obvious is just to even slightly open your eyes or open your throat, relax your tongue, and then more subtly opening the sides of the head, the palms of the hands. And then noticing, the aramanas, the mood of the thought. Is it busy? Is it irritated? Saddened? eager. So just get one word to get the tone, not all the details, but just the tone. So it's eager. How's that feel? Is it, you know, irritated? How's that feel? Just be that which can receive that. Open the heart to that, feeling that, and keep by doing that. Focus much more on that than on the topics of the thought. Quality of emotion or mental vedana, opening the chest, the heart, the out-breath, to release some of the pressure of that. Don't worry about what it's saying. This is a kind of ventilating, cleaning out. So sometimes these things just have to be expressed and heard and noticed and felt and, you know, allowed to pass through. It's like, you know, washing, cleaning out, letting things clean out. Releasing the pressure. It could be even coming into your muscles, in your sides of your face, or even the shoulders or the fingers can start to tighten under the pressure of strongly emotive thoughts. And similarly, if we're able to relax or open those, it does take the pressure off. We can then, you know, discern. This is the sadness or anxiety or resentment. Or just even something like stabbing or surging or fiery. The feeling of it. On the other hand, you find yourself feeling very cloudy and formless, then give more attention to the physical structure, discerning skin tone, bone, hard, softer, and build your body up. And lastly, things seem to get into stuck patterns, programs then. You can also just practice with that, just slightly moving the head, tiny. It helps to again take the intensities of thought, which tends to intensify the textures of the head, particularly the sides of the head, throat. Sometimes the tongue becomes stiff, the eyes tighten up. And you just go to the whole head and keeping aware of the breathing, but slightly turning it as we practiced before. In this very quiet movement. And still aware of the breathing. Maybe just here, breathing to clear from the heart upwards, that zone. Thank you. So if you like just to loosen a little, relax, and this is loosening thoughts. The aim is not really to stop thinking or thinking about anything in particular, just to loosen the congestion of it or the intensities of it. This area, this is called the Vajji Sankhara. It's the that which forms thought energy, and it's for. So this is highly activated. This is our primary means of. Orientation, isn't it? We navigate through our thoughts, we figure things out, we decide, we plan. Yeah. We know, we learn. So we increase ourselves, our sense of confidence through knowledge, skills through knowledge, that becomes us. We don't know, we feel disoriented or lost or confused or embarrassed. This, if we do know, we feel more confident. Sometimes you know it all, really a bit overconfident, really. So this Vajji Sankhara definitely forms us. So it's part of the way in which we are formed. We come into form, felt form. Psychological form, you could say personal form. Everyone was a sharp, quick thinker, slow thinker, you know, feeling a little bit dim-witted, dull or bright on the ball, getting to those conclusions quickly or not able to find a conclusion. How does all that feel? And what have we become in that? And social conditioning is to become, I would imagine, clearer, quicker, more confident, more informed, more knowledgeable. You know, because that's going to get us ahead in life. Where, you know, and so we, whatever that is, you know. So there's the program, isn't it? And get ahead in life, and you really get ahead, but we lose quite a bit of it, other things in that process. Moderating thought is one of the skills we encouraged in Dhamma practice. Not to not think, but to moderate thought. So taking one's time, being able to formulate, you know, what to think about, and to, you know, bring heart qualities into that. And so this itself can be missing, because a lot of thinking, because it's so much goal-oriented, doesn't really bring the heart into thought into speech, into thought, the fullness of it. To bring the fullness of heart, you often have to kind of negotiate a little, like what really feels about, how's that meaning, what's the most important piece to come up with, you know. So it's really taking one's time and exploring, questioning what's important now. Why is it feel important? Is the importance something that's marked with panic, anxiety, or value, something valuable? It's important to, you know, to be truthful. You know, I want to really be truthful. It's important to, particularly if it's coming into speech, to you know, speak in a mode, in a way that makes it easy to understand and to pick up. This skill of right speech is, one's speech is worth listening to, delightful, something other people enjoy hearing. So, yeah, so this is moderating thought. It's not just pumping out some knowledge or pumping out some words of knowledge, but very much sensing, you know, the motivation behind the thought or the speech, handling it, checking the motivation, and then bringing it forth carefully. So in this way, we begin to change the programs of thought. So there's a difference here, you see. All sankhara are like programs. It means in this sense, they're almost pre-modeled, or they become established modes. You know, get to the point, move quickly, add things up, be logical. This is established mode. The thought energy runs down that particular channel at that particular speed. And certainly a person who's got a lot of driven qualities will find themselves really hastening to get to the conclusion. So that the velocity of thought is programmed. It's not feeling it, sensing it, handling it, you know, contemplating how it sounds, but just to get to the result, to get those thoughts out quickly, to get to the end result. So there's a velocity to it. Yeah. It can also, you know, that velocity is programmed. You know, it's like it runs at a certain speed. And if it's not running fast, or that program speed, our sense of self feels a little disoriented. You know, I can't think, I can't figure out what to say. I can't, what am I saying? Oh dear, I'm lost. Confused. No, it just, sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, what's really important now? You're uncertain what to say. That's what's happening now. How does that feel? Feels like that, and then something useful to consider. Even the state, that state, consider it carefully. We feel we need to say lots of things, or get things clear, or come up with something original, progressive, effective. There's a program. So these sankharas have all kinds of motivations in them that we may not be that clear about, because they become so rapidly enacted that we only really notice the feeling or the motivation or the mood in it. So the difference between cetana and sankhara: cetana is volition or intention, impulse, energy. And sankhara, so it's definitely an aspect, the living aspect of sankhara, of of a activation. It's the very, you could say, it's the very, you know, electricity in the system that rushes, moves out. So any movement of the heart is called jetana. It's volitional. It's an impulse to. But then, why would one really contemplate that arising rather than not have it arise? It's because you want to notice not so much the volition, but the form it takes. So it's rather like, here's the movement coming into thought or speech, and it immediately runs down that channel in that particular way. Self-conscious, embarrassed, or trying to get to the end, or shoot, you know. So it runs down that way. So you begin to get the karmic pattern in one's thought formulation. So the chetana could be feeling irritated or feeling negatively affected, and this is restless thing. Then it could rush out into blaming or criticizing oneself, or bringing up the images of things we wish to complain about or find fault with, or don't wish to, but are attracted to. So it's like, you know, the irritated chetana moves around and then finds something to be irritated by. And so everyone has these potentials for irritation, craving, and so forth. You know, putting it very simply, for aversion or indulgence, or grabbing hold of things or resisting things. That's a potential in the heart, and that will tend to arise into thoughts. Now, if you're aware of the thought process, you feel the bubbling of it, then if you can get to the place where the thought is coming up, instead of just dismissing it or battling it, soft and wide, and so instead of going down that old channel, that particular topic that our mind is programmed to go down, or on the same speed, you know, or the same pattern. Sometimes you get these doubt programs which just circle round and round, chasing each other, unable to resolve. So that particular program of thought, when it just turns round and round and round, and never settles. We want to feel, instead of that, okay, that's like that, this is doubting, and the doubting mind will tend to always search for certainty as a thought, and that's the lure, because the doubting mind tries to find certainty in a thought, and that isn't going to get it there. It isn't going to resolve the doubt, because it's an energy of uncertainty. And if we come back to the sense of unknowing, uncertainty, what to do, how is that? The very impulse energy, rather than it running out into particular channels and programs or certain speeds, what's needed for that? To be known, to be felt as something that needs a little bit of firm ground beneath it to settle, rather than the thought. It needs an energy or a presence of a grounded energy in your body, on your out-breath. That's what it needed. And when it's grounded, sometimes the topic just basically disappears. Or we come to a very simple result. Grounded energy says, do this, don't do that. Or, you don't know right now, wait. You know, it shouldn't take long. If it's continued to go on, it means you really need to ground the thought rather than keep trying to find certainty. Because it's not the topic of thought, but the energy of it. And we're moderating it because most thought programs move at high velocity, and that makes them difficult to unbind because they rapidly swing around. So by this way, we're loosening thought in order not to have particularly positive thoughts or clear thoughts, but to sense thought as an energy, this bubbling, whether it's negative, affirmative, doubting, restless, what's that, and what's needed for that. So then the chetana itself can be met and responded to, rather than the program of thought, which has got a story, an image, a particular speed to it. That means we have to go into, well, I shouldn't dislike him because he means well, or I should forgive my mother because after all that was years ago, or this kind of thing. We're just endlessly going through that process and not getting to the point of feeling hurt, whether it's justifiable, that's what you're feeling. And then you go into that, and then what's really needed there in that is something, however stupid it is or unjust it is, feeling is feeling. The emotion is the emotion, it needs to be grounded, met, read through. So, you know, of course, a lot of meditation definitely challenges one's self-image because we're re-experiencing one's mind going crazy or chaotic or grumpy or negative or falling asleep isn't really very gratifying for one's sense of self. But we have to move because sense of self just is inadequate for handling this mind. Sense of self is not very good at handling this mind. It's extremely poor because it is a program itself of wanting things to be clear, fixed, finite, agreeable. So it's a very limited program. It's got no space and capacity to it. So, you know, even though trying to be a good meditator is not going to work because in this sense, because it sets up a certain program to be clear, to be positive, to be whatever, you know, personal. And so you know, you begin to check our attitudes and just to become more responsive to the chetana so it doesn't form into these fixed programs that then become yourself. If your program gets fixed, it becomes myself. I am a grumpy person, I am a greedy person, I'm a person with these obsessions, I'm a jealous person, I'm a anxious person who lacks confidence, and then thinking about that. Yeah. So sankhara, become ourself. The process of volition is natural and necessary. We do things, we speak, we think, we conceive, we remember, we decide. That's all what we do. This piece of loosening the thought as one of the skills you develop in meditation is so that is the volitional qualities, the doing is coming out of the set patterns which become myself. And you probably know yourself in that respect. It's familiar. And maybe you're a bit disappointed with yourself. But rather than, you know, trying to be a different self, just checking the speed of thought, moderating with breathing, moderating it by loosening the body, moderating it by having the eyes slightly open, moderating it by giving more attention to the mood, the mental tone, and then giving all that lot of space to, you know, take it slowly, feel the qualities. And it will generally distill to certain, because that process will distill down to the essences. You know, this particular mind state is associated with, you know, uncertainty, rather than this, what should I do about this and this and this and this. This is the state of uncertainty, grounding, what's needed, what's helpful for that. This way we can get to the point of what is moving us, really moving in the heart. Learn to acknowledge and come to terms with qualities of heart we may not really had much space for or tolerance of. Fear, rage, yeah, that we don't want to have happen. Developing, being able to, because everybody has these potentials, they're innate to human beings. So then why it's softening, so that it doesn't go into these corrosive thought forms that really saturate your body with unpleasant chemicals and stresses. So how do we defuse that? Just going to the quality, slowing it down, holding it in the heart, feeling it in the body, softening, loosening, not to get rid of it, but to take it to a place where we can, our awareness can get bigger than that and hold it carefully and respond. And the response will be involuntary. If it's really correct, it will be just something like, oh yeah, you know, rather than a thought response. But remember that if it's a prefabricated response, it's another program. It's me going in there saying, oh, cheer up, never mind. Think, you know, it's all a Nietzsche. And yeah, even though it's true, but it's still a program. And we're looking at something that's a deprogramming. So this is ways we can practice with thinking mind, as certainly it's been with us for a long time and it's part of our lives, functions. So being able to meditate with that.